This week, we're going to throw around some ideas about how schools should handle school bullying. We'll get right into it after I hit this music. This week, I have a very special guest. If you are a fan of the Netflix TV show Glow, then I got a treat for you. Joining me today is one of the original Glow wrestlers, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, April Holm. Did I say that correctly, April?
Aloha. Yes, April Holm. Aloha.
April, before we get into our topic today, I'm curious, I'm sure people are curious too, on the Netflix TV show of Glow, on how closely did they get that right with the startup of the of Glow and how Netflix portrayed it?
Well, it was pretty close. What you just need to realize is Netflix is there to get viewership. And it is loosely based on the original Glow show that I was in the 80s. And so there are a lot of things that are true to form. And then there are some things that, of course, they're going to add some spice to it and some storylines that may have not have been exactly on our Glow show. Our show was a family show on TV in the 80s, and we had lots of kids at our live tapings of the show. Netflix, I would say, is a little bit more for the older crowd, and because there is, you know, unfortunately, sex and drugs does, you know, get viewership. And so I say to some of our fans that maybe you got to watch Netflix Glow when you're out of high school, you know, but it's there's a lot of similarities. You will see that there are characters that were combined from the original Glow characters.
Yeah, how about your character?
They could not use our characters. None of the original characters you will not see on the Netflix show because they did not want to pay us for our characters.
Oh, man.
And we were not going to sign a release to give you our characters for nothing. No, nobody made any money on that show except for Babe the Farmer's Daughter. That's Ursula Hayes, who owned the name Glow. So unfortunately, nobody else was asked to consult, even myself and Americana as the wrestling trainers for the show, or any of the other girls. Nobody else was asked to partake or, you know, were included in the show, which is unfortunate. It would have been nice to see some of us included in the show. So you won't see our characters, but they did combine, like for my one of my favorites is Britannia, and she's part Argodiva and part Zelda the Brain. You will see one, like you see the main characters is Liberty Bell, and yep. Then you see Zoya. And that would be our Americana and our Nanuchka. So the characters are there. And if you are a true Glow fan, you can see who is who. So, you know, it is still exciting and it is still our story, but it is loosely based on the original show.
Your character is the Royal Hawaiian. Did they kind of resemble any of your character into the wrestlers that you recognized?
Not mine particularly, but you will see Mount Fiji was one of our big icon wrestlers, and she was an Olympic shot putter for the U.S. She actually was portrayed as the character Machu Picchu.
Okay.
And then you will see other characters. But my storyline, like the girl that does play the trainer, you know, that was one of my roles. And then also Awesome Kong played the welfare mom. And her injuries were pretty much tailored like my story. And why I stopped with Glow is because I got hurt and I was injured. So that's kind of it. So you will see some of those storylines. And maybe the fans may or may not know that they are true stories that came from the original show. But the characters are different. So you will see the similarities, though. There are some that you could tell who is who, and they mix and match a couple of our Glow characters to become one of the new Netflix characters on Glow.
So after Glow, did you have any work with like the WWF at that time or WWE right now? Did you have any work with them, or was that kind of the end of
your
career?
No, actually, the only one that made it all the way to it would have been WWF back then, was our Tina Ferrari. She was Ivory in WWF. So she made it. Now there was Hollywood and myself actually were contacted, and we could have been a possibility of going into WWF, but she broke her leg. And of course I hurt my back. So we both were injured. And so that never took place. So the only one that really made it all the way was Tina Ferrari. That was Lisa Moretti, who was Ivory in WWF. So
okay.
You know, but there is, yes, you know, there is that. Ivory. And Yeah. So Ivory was inducted in the Hall of Fame. I want to say it was 2018. She was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So that's our pride in the history of the GLOW alumni.
Was Medusa part of your show?
Not part of GLOW. Okay. No, she was not. But yeah, we've gotten to see her a lot at our CAC conventions in Las Vegas, the Cauliflower Alley. Yeah, I've met her a few times and she's just wonderful.
Okay. So after your wrestling, I shouldn't say wrestling career, because you're still kind of actively in that area.
Well, I am now, but I did take, after I got hurt, I never really thought about going back to GLOW. Like people ask now, they're like, why didn't you go back and do like commentating or becoming a manager or doing something else with the show? And we never really thought about all those things, because back then we didn't have all the things that are taking, place today in wrestling. You have all the girls that do the side interviews either before matches or after matches, or, kind of talking to the wrestlers and things like that. So I basically just went on and had a normal life. I went out and got a real job, and I worked for United Airlines for over 25 years and all of that. And then when GLOW kind of resurfaced and, we got the internet and, internet and social media, then there was a way to reconnect with our fans by way of Facebook back then. And that's how it started. And then we started getting a few girls together and doing some meet and greets and traveling around the country and doing, the conventions and Comic-Cons and other things. And then that's when we all started to come together. And then, I started to continue just working with the current day indie wrestlers and still traveling around the country and stuff. But I got married and had my family, and I have my son, and that's kind of where, talking about bullying, I was bullied as a kid, and then it kind of overflowed into my son, and that was kind of involved. So I did have a touch of having to deal with that in myself and as a mother.
Yeah. And you also now in your your passion, spare time, I should say spare time, it sounds bad. But your passion right now is suicide prevention. You're advocating for suicide prevention. And you mentioned to me that bowling is like one of the top five reasons kids are committing
Number three cause of death in young adults, young teens and adults, 15 to 24. And since the pandemic, the child and teenage suicide rate has just skyrocketed because of the isolation that the kids were used to being able to go to school every day and hang out with their friends and play with their friends after school and go over each other's houses and all that stuff came to a complete halt during the pandemic. And that's when the number in cases just went crazy, and then I just have had several circumstances where I've had to deal with people I knew that suicide affected. And luckily I have had some who were able to seek help. And in some cases, I've actually reached out, even if they weren't in my city and they're across the country. I would reach out and try to research the resources for them in another state that could potentially help them. And then, they're doing well today. So it's just a matter of getting the information out, having the resources available. And today, I know we had talked a little bit and just how do you report it? How do you get someone to listen to you? Where do we get the action? How do these kids trust the school systems and believe that if I say something, will anything be done about it? What can we do?
In that top three, is that bullying traced back to the school bullying? Is that where these kids are experiencing the most of it?
Yes. And some of the results of the studies in that is that they say that teachers, nurses, what is the other advocates for
social workers,
doctors, social workers, counselors have such a big impact on the kids who are suffering from, depression, anxiety, all the things that come along with the bullying, that they're finding that they get the benefit of these other resources to help them with the bullying versus depending on only their family or parents. And it has been linked that, we need to educate the teachers, and maybe not all of the teachers at the school, but the counselors and maybe some of the teachers, because the students rely on the, you know, direction or from coaches, you know, coaches or your drama teacher or, you know, your music teacher. And, you know, they built a rapport with the students and they have found that there is a positive benefit from having that connection available to the school age kids versus only relying on family and parents, because some kids are afraid to bring things like this up to the parents. And I do have my friend Carol Castle, who is actually in Minnesota, and she has a nonprofit, which is Wrestling for Life. And the connection is Wrestling Hall of Fame in Minnesota is the wrestling organization that is her platform and who she works with for this nonprofit for suicide prevention. And she actually is a great resource to pick on, and you might want to get in contact, or I can get you two together. But the hotline that she has that you can call is different than the National Suicide Hotline. The National Suicide Hotline, if you were to call, you could potentially be put on hold.
Wow.
And, you know, quite often, from what I understand. And so the organization that she works with that has the suicide hotline is manned by first responders. And the reason she came up with the nonprofit organization is her son was a first responder and he committed suicide. So since then, she had thought of coming up with the nonprofit organization to have resources and these life coins. They're real pretty. I should have looked for mine to show you it, but they sell them and they encourage like the fire departments, police departments, schools, different companies, organizations, it doesn't matter who they are. And they'll even work a deal if you buy, you know, larger quantity, drop the price. And it's a pretty coin and it has the number right on it, the hotline. But if you were to call that number, you won't be put on hold. And the call center is manned by first responders. So it's not like you're just calling and it's a person who's just answering the phone. So that I would encourage, you know, people to look up. It's called wrestlingforlife.org. And I see her usually once a year at the convention in Las Vegas with the Cauliflower Alley Club.
Okay.
And she's, you know, she's a wonderful lady that's, you know, done a lot for the community as well as, you know, she's in Minnesota and I'm in California, but we managed to get, I do also co-host a radio show with Patrick J. Martinez, the DJ at Ham Radio in Boyle Heights. And we've even had her on our show. We do a couple episodes a year that are for suicide prevention, and we'll bring her on the show. And it is, unfortunately, it's just a radio show. But even though we do a radio show, I do it live so the people can actually see what's going on with us in the studios. We have a call-in line. You can call in and ask questions. And if we don't have the answers, you know, we'll try to find a resource for you and see what we can do, because, you know, there's lots of free mental health in places and people don't reach out for that. But, you know, it starts with the kids and the bullying is most important right now. So just suggestions would be, we've talked about some things and is just to have something very visible.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Kids don't know where to report bullying. So I pulled up so I live in Mankato, Minnesota. So we have District 77 and they're reporting, they have a bullying reporting procedures, and under reporting procedures, letter B, it states reports of bullying should be made in writing to their building principal or to the building supervisor, but oral reports shall also be considered as complaints. Why can't you go to a teacher and tell them you're being picked up?
But it's not just a complaint.
Exactly, so, but that's what they say. It's, if you don't do it this way, it's a complaint.
Well, that's not good enough, because with these types of things, the proof and the numbers are there that say bullying, and whether it is the person who is being bullied or the bully, will both need some type of counseling resource. And there's a specific reason. Why is the person who is bullying, why are they doing that? There's got to be an underlying reason. So that person also needs help. And it needs to be something as plain as day and in their face. just like I say, those evacuation charts that are plastered all over the walls and buildings.
Yeah.
If there's a fire, you need to use the exit over there to evacuate. They need to have a sign with a big giant red circle with the line through it. No bullying. And if you are bullying, here is what you need to do. You need to call. Da-da-da-da-da. And you get connected and you can report it. No, you're not going to file a complaint. You're going to call and report. This is what's happening to me right now. I'm at school. I'm on the school campus and I am afraid for my life and I need somebody. I don't know. I don't know what the procedure is going to be, but something needs to be implemented and needs to be put in place so that that call triggers to wherever it needs to go, filter, however it filters, whether it goes to the school board office and comes back to the principal or starts in the school itself and goes to the principal and then they go, you know, it goes up and wherever it needs to go, but something has to be immediate. It has to be immediate action.
And accessible.
And accessible because the kids are not, it's not something that the kids are going to rely on or use as a resource if they can't believe that it's going to be done or there's going to be action taken immediately. And that's what needs to happen because do you want the suicide to happen on your campus? You don't.
No.
Right? I mean, so you don't want, because then guess what? Now you've created a whole nother slew of problems because now you've got to have counseling for all those kids who had to experience the incident happening on a campus somewhere. So get something implemented. A sign needs to be posted all over that building so that whether you're inside, outside the building, on the playground, in the gym, wherever, if something is taking place, they need to be able to have a resource that I can call now and get help. Just like they had in the school, in the college campuses now, they've implemented those towers that they go and touch and the lights go off like and everything.
The blue phones or whatever. I think, yeah.
Whatever they call that. I don't know what it's called, but you know, they have that. So why can't we have something visible, but attainable and something that they can see is there? Oh, this just happened. There's that sign. I've seen it at school before. Okay, I need to go up to that sign and see what do I need to do? And it needs to be done. And they need to have an assembly. They need to bring the awareness. And then you say, we are implementing a new procedure. You can feel confident that the school and the school board is in approval. You know, this has been something that has been approved. And this is what we will now be doing. Da, 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 da. Here's a sign. This is you having a problem. This is what you do. We're not filing a complaint on a computer, on a piece of paper and waiting for 3 weeks down the road for someone to get back to you. No, it needs to happen immediately.
Yeah. And I think any staff member of the school district should be able to handle that, at least as far as, let's say, professional staff, teachers, counselors, nurses. Why does it have to rely on one person?
They should all be advised on what the procedure is. And then it can be escalated to whoever has to then, you know, actually address what is the next immediate step. But something needs to be implemented. I mean, it's just crazy. If it's the number three cause of death in young teens and young adults, there's got to be something to help curb that and get those numbers down because this is unacceptable. It's just something that has been ignored long enough.
Yeah.
And I think, no, just needs to be addressed.
I've been in some meetings and we were talking about school bullying and I don't know if this is 100% true or not. So, but I'm just going to speculate. This is what I've heard. So I don't know if it's true or not. But schools don't like reporting bullying because it can hurt them financially. If they have too many bullying issues, it hurts them financially. So they'll call them as complaints or they'll sweep it on their rug. They'll sweep it underneath the rug like it never happened. So I don't know how many lives it takes before they start taking bullying seriously. Maybe one kid committing suicide's not a big deal to them. It just sure is for that family. That sounds kind of harsh to say, but this is how a lot of people I talk to are feeling.
I'm going to share a personal story. If that's what they're afraid of, by sweeping it under the rug is only going to create a bigger problem down the road. I lived in Hawaii and there was a big scandal which took place just a few years ago with Kamehameha, which is the private Hawaiian school in Hawaii. And back in the day, and this was my husband, my first husband, went to this school, and the doctor, the psychiatrist that worked for the school, was molesting the boys at the school. So years later, an individual came back to Hawaii. He had moved out of the state, went back and confronted the school, and the school swept it under the rug. So it was the school and the board of trustees, so two different entities. And then all these men came out of the woodworks, and they came and accused the doctor. A couple of the gentlemen committed suicide because everything was ignored and swept under the rug. So they got enough men to come forward. One of the top attorneys in Hawaii filed a suit. Eventually, that doctor committed suicide himself because he knew he was guilty.
Yeah.
It was a multi-million dollar lawsuit. So if schools today don't want to handle a bullying situation because of finances that they're maybe not going to get allotted because of too many complaints, well, do you want one of these lawsuits like the Catholic Church and all the other things that you now see for whether it's bullying or molestation or whatever the case may be? Schools and entities are afraid of being sued. Well, guess what? It's happening. So they need to do something. I don't see sweeping it under the rug how that's going to solve anything. So you might as well start now, devise some kind of process, get this out there and make it available to the students now, not 3 weeks from now, not by filing a complaint in a computer and not getting the attention. They need the current time attention. It needs to be something that they are getting and are seeing is actually happening. Otherwise, guess what? It's not going to work.
Yeah.
The next kid is just going to say, hey, yeah, they put that sign up there, but guess what? Nothing was done about it. So why should I do it if it doesn't work? There's no action. There's no proof. Nobody's stepping up to the plate. So, you know, so it really needs to be something that the students can really see is actually going to work.
Yeah.
They're actually going to do something about it and listen to us.
I'm planning to run for school board. Well, I am going to run for school board this year for my town. So I'm going back.
Exciting.
I'm going back to all the school board videos because it's all recorded. And I watched the open forums and, back in February, this one gentleman reported bullying to the school board. Now they get 3 minutes. And I felt bad for the guy because the school board didn't say anything about the report. Like, I'm sorry. He just said his piece, gave him a sheet of paper, how to get a hold of him. And that was it. And
Oh my God.
It's like, I hope they followed up with that guy because he had a very valid complaint that his daughter was being picked on constantly at one of our local schools. So he went to the school board, reported it. They don't give him a response back. So I don't know if they ever contacted this guy or not. But at least one of them could have said, well, I'm sorry, your daughter has experienced that. I didn't hear that in that video. But it seems like I got the feeling for that guy, like the school board just didn't really care. And like, hurry up, say your 3 minutes and get out of here. That's how I took it as. Maybe I took it as that way because I'm more passionate than they are, but.
Well, I experienced the bullying in my days raising my son. So my son experienced the bullying to extremes to where he would hide in the bathroom and eat his lunch in the bathroom because he was being so bullied out on the lunch area where the tables and chairs are. And then the guys that were bullying him, you know, it was always a leader guy. And then, you know, his four or five friends. So we actually had instances where we had to go to the principal. There was, you know, conferences with the parents and he was suspended and, you know, and then it continued. And, you know, my son did get involved in a fight where he fought back and threw one of his books and hit the kid in the mouth and broke his tooth. And then they started coming back saying, oh, his parents are going to sue you for damaging his tooth. And I'm like, okay, well, try it, because their kid started and has been, and it's been documented, the bullying, and he's been suspended. And here he is still bullying my son. And so his was self-defense to the bully.
Yeah.
So nothing ever came about. They never sued. You know, the school did, you know, address it and we had conferences and that kind of thing. But I think the students need to feel that if I do complain, that something will be done about it. Because, you know, otherwise it's not going to work. They're not going to report it. They're not going to feel that there is somebody there to support them and offer the assistance and help that is needed before they decide to do something like suicide.
April, I want to pick your brain, because if I do win on school board, I want to see what your answer would be. If you were in charge of setting an anti-bullying zero tolerance rule in your school, what would that look like? Because I might just steal it.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm a visual person. So to me, anything that's where I can see something, it's got to be like something plastered on the wall, you know, with that big,
that's simple and cheap.
That big,
simple and cheap to make.
No bullying, you know, the big red with the X, no bullying zone, you know, no bullying zone, period. Right. Or no.
If you see it, hear it, call here or email here, report it here.
Yes. Whatever the process ends up being. And you need to have something that's going to be immediate, you know, and you need to have like an assembly or whatever to introduce this, that, you know, we are coming out with a brand new, you know, process. If you need assistance, these signs are going to be all over the school. You will be able to, if you don't remember it, screenshot it in your phone. If you don't remember what the number is that you need to call, have it in your phone and you need to use it. That we're going to tell you what this is that we're implementing. This is how it works. This is what we're going to be able to do for you. And maybe out of it, they can get students to get to the point where they don't have to reach doing that process. Maybe they are willing to come up to a counselor or a faculty member and reach out and say, hey, I need help. I don't need to call that number yet because it's not that bad, but I need help. And can you, you know, refer me to wherever? Is it the counselor I need to talk to? Is it the nurse? Who do I need to talk to when I feel like I'm being threatened and bullied and I'm not at that point where I need that emergency number, but where can I go to talk to someone that can help me with some resources on what I can do right now before I get to the point where I feel like I'm going to commit suicide?
I like that, because what the policy that my district has, you got to print off of forms, mail it to their principal. They got 2-3 days. I mean,
First of all, kids
are not going to know where to find that form, first of all. And they're probably not going to tell their parents that are being bullied because it's embarrassing.
No. They're not going to. If you were to tell me and I was a kid and you're telling me that the way I report being bullying is I got to go on a computer and print a form and fill it out and send it to someone, I'm not going to do that. I need something that I can do right now.
No.
I just got threatened a half an hour ago. I don't need to wait a day. I don't need to wait a week. I don't need to wait 3 weeks. I need someone to know about it right now.
Yeah, because no kid.
And that's where it's going to stop.
No kid should have to sit there and worry about what's going to happen after school, during lunch, on the way back home, on the school
bus. On the way home, you know.
It should be able to be dealt
with
instantly.
It should be dealt with at that time. So I say no tolerance, zero tolerance for bullying. And this is the resource. You need help, you call this number.
April, I love this idea. And I'm probably going to steal it when I get elected to school board.
Well, you do what you need to do, Tim. And I will be, you want me to brainstorm some more about some other stuff, I'll be happy to help.
Maybe what I'll have you do is give me a video shout out that can blast all over social media.
We could do that too. I can do that. I'd be happy to do that.
Royal Hawaiian
will
come out.
And if you want to come on our show, I can get you on the radio show and we can do to where you can actually advertise it where you are, because it's worldwide. So even though the radio station is in a circumference of the LA area, you can stream it online.
Oh,
so
it
can be streamed anywhere. So when we're online and then when I'm on Facebook, you can also advertise. People can watch my Facebook and see us.
Oh, yeah.
But we would be on a radio show.
That's a great idea. Yes.
So if you want to do that, I can also arrange to have you be a guest on our show and we can do a bullying show and a suicide prevention all in one together.
That'd be fun.
Start to brainstorm and get the awareness out there and then help get you elected. Because this is, you know, one of the things that you want to see happen during the time that maybe you're going to be elected.
Yes, I love it.
So that would be awesome.
April, if people want to get a hold of you, get in touch with you, ask you questions about wrestling, GLOW, whatever it may be.
Bullying, suicide prevention, whatever. If you'd like to get me onto one of your podcasts, whoever's podcast, radio show, whatever they'd like, if they'd like me to come on and do something similar to what we did today, they can contact me at my email is aprilhom, H-O-M, 25@gmail.com. You can reach me on Facebook at aprilhom. or use Messenger. And on Instagram, it's royalhawaiian25. And then I am on Twitter and whatever else there is. Now there's what? What's the new one? I haven't really been out there yet, but X, and then the other one, Thread.
Thread.
All of those. And then if you just want to, you know, hit me up on Instagram, send me a DM, or on Facebook, like I said, on Messenger, and I'd be happy to, you know, answer your questions. And if I don't have the answer, I'd be happy to check some resources for you. Even if you are not in California, I do advocate for, you know, anywhere that you might be, I can try and help you in those areas. I'm all over the place, so that's not a problem. And then anything else that you think you need help with, Tim, just give me a buzz.
I love it. April, thanks again for coming on my show.
No problem. I appreciate you asking me to come on, and good luck to you in the election. And I hope everything works out for you. So thanks a lot. Aloha.
And for myself, you can always find us at our very own website, which is www.breakingbullying.com. You can also reach out to us at our email address. If you have a story of your own bullying to share, or for whatever reason, you want to get a hold of us, our email address is breakbullyinghere@gmail.com. Now, if you're a victim of bullying and you don't know where to turn, there is online resources to help you. The first is the government's very own anti-bullying website, and the address is www.stopbullying.gov. And other online resource is www.pacer.org/bullying. Now, if you have had thoughts of suicide or of self-harm, we implore you to stop. Reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. That number is very simple. It's 988. I'm Tim Flynn, and thank you for listening, and we will be back next week to continue the conversation to break the silence on bullying.